that's just a stroke of a pen. We have them shipped down here. And in 2004, we ended up having to move some people from New Jersey down here, line crews down here to help us. So we have that ability to grab people and move them around. But I go back to the most important thing we think is the plan. If you've got a good plan, it's functional, you can get through this. 2004 was a tough year for all of us. We in the emergency group, we were kind of happy about the fact that what we've been working on for so many years worked so well. Any questions?
Commissioners, any questions? Staff, any questions?
Thank you very kindly.
Thank you.
Ms. Cazare?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And I do recognize I'm all that's left standing between us and lunch, so I will try to be quick. Okay. My presentation is basically building on the one last year. For us, network hardening is an ongoing process. It's also business as usual. And by that, I don't mean that it's not important, but just that it is what we take very seriously in keeping our network up and running. We began our pole inspection process in November of 2006. We are on track. We have only 39,900 poles in our network. 94% of our network is underground. Only 6% is aerial. We have currently checked approximately 5,500 of our poles, and this past year, in the 5,000 that we checked, we had 127 that had failed, so we have replaced those. We are on track with that process. As we go out and do these pole inspections, we are also putting GIS tags on them so that we can locate them in the event of a storm, hurricane, some kind of event, a tornado, something that might take poles down. Our engineering design, which is just business as usual again, includes consideration of storm hardening requirements. Things we learned from the storms in 2004 and 2005, we put into effect in the engineering plans that we do today. So we make sure that we have any digital loop carriers or cross-connect boxes that have a lot of cable pairs coming into them that are in an area where we think might be susceptible to storm surge or rising water. They are put up on platforms. They are put in low-profile cabinets so that they don't have as much exposure to high winds. We also look at raised platforms for the ones that are down in the coastal areas. And, you know, we have coastal areas, the Fort Walton-Destin area, the St. Marks area, Crystal River, and then from Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda, all the way down to the southern tip of the state. So we do have a lot of coastal areas, a lot of exposure, and in those areas we have put any digital loop carriers that are close to the coast up on raised platforms. We also take our generators maintenance very serious. For the stationary generators in our offices, the ones that are there continuously, those are run every month in a test to make sure that they operate appropriately, that we make sure that we have them maintained, that we keep the fuel. We also have a very large contingent of portable generators. They are assigned by district, and it's based on how many digital loop carriers are in each area that might need the portable generators brought to them in the case of a power outage. We keep track of those. We keep them in logs. We maintain them. And then as we approach storm season, we begin to look at where those are stationed. That brings me to my next slide on disaster preparedness plan and action. We have disaster preparedness plans. Those are by district. We have 8 districts in the state of Florida, and we implement those plans in advance of a forecasted storm. So in Florida, where we have hurricane season, towards the end of May, we have a kickoff call each year. And this is an interdepartmental call. Anybody who would be involved in part of this disaster preparedness plan is included on that call, and everything is verified that it's ready for this hurricane season. There's a checklist that they go through. We have this plan in writing Everybody has a copy of it, and we verify every little detail about what we might need if we had to go into a mode after a hurricane for coordinating replacement, repair, restoration. We also coordinate with other utilities and with the local governments through our presence at the emergency operations centers. We actually send employees to be in those emergency operations centers. We find that that works much better. If they have any questions about the telco facilities in their area, they have somebody right there. We also communicate regularly and frequently, both internally and externally. We have, for the employees who are actually going to be part of the restoration group, they are told ahead of time who they have to communicate with, how often, what numbers to call, and we also have a group that provides updates to the external media, and we keep it on our website as well, not only for our employees to know what's going on, but for our customers as well, because, of course, they want to know when their phones are going to be restored. So if we've had an event and we're into post-storm recovery, the first thing we do is, before the storm has hit, we've implemented our disaster preparedness plan. We have opened our regional operations center, which is in Apopka, and we have opened our command center in whichever specific parts of the state were going to be affected. So if Tallahassee was the area that we were expecting the hurricane, then Tallahassee is where we would open a command center over on Blairstone Road. We have a building there. We do two things almost immediately. As soon as we have gotten the all clear that it is safe to let our employees out on the street, we mobilize our area survey teams to canvass the area. These are teams of two people who go out. They have a kit that was already prepared for them that they take with them, and they identify where we have damaged facilities, outages, cable down, poles down, whatever. They make notes of it, and they communicate this back to the command center every 30 minutes so that we keep really up to date on what is down, what needs to be fixed, and where do we have clear access to get to it to begin work. We also activate rapid response teams. These are teams of employees. They're technicians. They are pre-selected, pre-chosen, based on their abilities and their excellent skills. We have outside techs, we have central office techs, and we have business office techs. And between these three groups, they can get any service back up and working, whether it's voice service, high-speed internet, special service circuits, or a PBX, a voicemail system, something that has software associated with it. These groups of techs can do that. And they are sent out basically to begin restoration immediately, with prioritized circuits restored first. We keep a list of all the prioritized circuits, and these would include electric companies, because we found that they need to be able to communicate in order to get their plant back up and working. It would include hospitals, police, sheriffs, fire departments, some municipal government lines, sometimes some bank lines in order to keep money flowing, in order to let people go out and, you know, purchase what they need to begin restoration. So we have those prioritized circuits identified. We begin restoration with that immediately. And then we have instituted something new that if we have a storm this year, which I'm hoping we don't, we would put into effect, and that's collecting forensic data after the fact that we would then be able to take back and analyze for lessons learned for the future. Well, that is my presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you so kindly. Commissioners? Staff? Okay, thank you so kindly. Commissioners, before we go further, let me just ask staff, did we have anyone to sign up for comments?
No, Mr. Chairman, there was not.
Okay, I would want to, if we had anyone from the public that wanted to speak, we wanted to give them an opportunity to do so. But hearing none, commissioners, we're back on comments and questions by commissioners. Let me start, Commissioner Edgar, I'll start with you, and then I'll go with Commissioner McMurray, and then Commissioner Scott, and I think I'll bring us home.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just say again, I really appreciate all of our presenters, a lot of excellent information, always educational for me. And, you know, as you stated in your earlier comments, and we all realize that because we have had a couple seasons without the same significant storm events that we had a few years back, sometimes some of this information seems not quite as germane, but I firmly believe that it truly is, and that the consumers of Florida will benefit from the initiative that this commission took a few years back and from the work our utilities are continuing to do on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner McMurrian.
Thank you. I can't say anything better than the two of you already have. I appreciate everyone's input from all the companies and participants and staff's continued hard work on this, and I hope the predictions are wrong as well. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I'd like to thank all the utilities that presented today. A very informative presentation. It's important to remain diligent and pursue these in light of the fact and some of the comments that have been raised that we're very fortunate, knock on wood, not to have any major storm events last year, but we must remain ever prepared, and I greatly appreciate the hard work and effort that you guys are doing on behalf of the consumers, such that in the event that we do have a storm or multiple storms, that service restoration will go smoother than historically has been the case. Thank you again.
Thank you, commissioners. We heard today from the investor-owned utilities. We heard from the municipals and the co-ops. We heard from Alex, and we heard from, did we get everybody? I want to make sure that we heard from everyone. Did I miss anyone? Good. And we heard from our staff, and I think this is a great opportunity for us to be proactive, and this is why my comments earlier was to kind of talk about how we got to where we are now, so that we can be prepared for what the future may hold. I'm hopeful that the predictions at Colorado State were incorrect, but we need to be prepared and we need to be diligent. So thank you, staff. Thank you to all the parties. Commissioners, anything else for the good of the order? With that, this workshop is adjourned.